It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Back to the Yankee Center podcast. And I'm pissed off. Me and Tom have been going at it for days right now about this team. We are both angry, but we both have different thoughts about it. But regardless, we're both pissed right now, and that's the bottom line. Tom, what's up, my man?
Okay. Before we get started, Luke, I do need you to know that you're connection is a little wonky right now. It's coming in and out, coming in and out. That's what she said. Okay, my bad. Immature Tom. But so I'm going to talk just because I like to talk. So
go here, for it.
While you get that fixed, everything went to hell. This team has been god awful. So to basically recap, we had after our last episode, we had a nice series against the White Sox. We won 3 games against the White Sox. And then everything after that went to hell. Like, we got our asses kicked by Toronto. We got our asses kicked by Detroit. Detroit, of all teams. We got our asses kicked. We split with Tampa, but it wasn't a good split. It was a pretty ugly split. And we also just got swept at home by the Boston Red Sox. It's been an awful few weeks. There have been injuries. There have been bad hitting, bad pitching, bad defense. Anything that could have gone wrong, bad umpiring, anything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong in these last 2 weeks. And that's not an exaggeration.
No.
But, there's always a but.
There's a big but.
Thank you. We're going to win the World Series.
I would like to think so, but I'm not going to say that because I think it's not true.
Well, that's just you don't see the vision.
No, I see the vision, and I think we have the talent. The talent only means so much in the end. I mean, it's great, and we have the pieces. It's just putting it all together and having those pieces actually get the job done for once. Because until they do, I just don't see it. But I will say I've done a lot of analysis since we last talked about this yesterday.
Last night. You're just going
yes, yesterday. I have actually, though. I have. And I have some new opinions and thoughts, actually, since then.
Oh, some logical not ones, to say hopefully.
I'm not flipping entirely at all, but I have a couple flips. A couple small ones.
Okay. I want to know your flips.
Oh, I'm going to give you my flips. All right.
All right. So, give me the flips. Give me the flips.
I will say, even though I never actually said this, I do feel for sure that DJ will absolutely get better. I'm confident in saying that. But can I confidently say he will be MVP DJ? No, I'm not going
to
say that. But I will say
he's good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not a 656 OPS player.
No.
He's not.
He wasn't even that with Colorado.
Yeah, that's my point. And even in Colorado, this is always a guy that's had a pure hit tool that knew how to hit, put the ball in play. And he is not a 250 batting average guy. That's just not DJ LeMahieu in any sense of the word. So I think he's going to improve. The question is, to what degree? And that's what we're going to have to wait and find out, because that's going to dictate, honestly, part of how, a lot of how far this lineup goes, because the last 2 years, this lineup is going based on DJ, honestly. He's the one that sets the tone, sets the table for everybody. And if he's not going, the lineup's not going more often than not. That's just the reality of how important he is to this team. And that's why we gave him a 6-year deal to begin with, man. So, you know,
basically
we're going to have to
Yankee Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We're really going to have to hope, man, because he is as important to this team as anybody when he's going. And right now, he's just not going. So I would say that, you know, I've been trying to really just figure out what's wrong with him, because it's been so bizarre, honestly. Like,
yeah. You totally dropped your phone, didn't you?
Yeah, I might have dropped my phone.
Yep, knew it. I know that. I know that sound.
Oh, that sucked. All right. Well, I'm back anyway. Anyway, what I was going to say is, you know, I'm just looking through all the numbers and I keep trying to think about what could possibly be this off with DJ. And, you know, the launch angle was my first thought, because I was trying to think, you know, what else could it be? But just looking at launch angle, we talked about, or many people have talked about, how last year's launch angle was down a lot compared to the previous year. In 2019, he had a 6.5 launch angle, and 2020, it was 2.3. So that's obviously a big decrease, but this year he's actually back up to 4.9. So it's over what it was last year, which would indicate at the very least he should be putting the ball in the air more than last year in terms of launch angle. So that's actually going pretty decent so far for him. That's not the issue right now. And, you know, if you look at his expected numbers, I mean, they're obviously not anything outstanding, but there's definitely things that suggest he's getting a little unlucky. You know, like right now he has a 253 batting average and a 321 slugging, but his expected batting average is 270 and his expected slugging is 379. So that's a 60-point gap on his slugging percentage between expected and actual. So,
yeah,
you know, there
is
it's
room
definitely
for hope.
Yeah, no, there's room for hope with DJ. I would definitely say that. I would not give up on DJ. And really, if you're the Yankees, you can't give up on DJ. You have him for another 5 years, so get used to him one way or another. Your job is to fix this guy.
Yeah,
and
really,
he really shouldn't be that hard to fix, because he's that talented of a guy, and we all know that. The talent is not in question with DJ. It's just putting it all together, and I'm hoping that he's going to do that sooner rather than later, because if he doesn't, the Yankees are going to be in trouble. And that's the bottom line there. So I think we're pretty much in line on DJ.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so we got that going for us so far.
Yeah, there's probably not going to be much after.
Might be a couple, but not too many. Not too many.
Yeah, really.
So, I'll go to another one I think we'll agree on, because, sure, why not?
Why not?
Gio. I think I'm actually a little bit more towards you with Gio right now. I'm not going to say... The thing is, I never hated Gio. I never even said I have no faith in him. I just said he's underperforming, and I'm not necessarily worried. I'm just saying he needs to pick it up still. And I think he will, and I think I agree with you that he's at least shown signs of heading in the right direction. I can definitely get with that, and I think he's going to be fine long-term. I mean, he's hitting the ball.
Had a very nice week.
Yeah, no, he actually had a pretty nice week overall. He's hitting the ball hard in general, so that's not even a big issue. His defense is actually, you know, great as always, and if anything, it's actually better than previous years if you're going by outs above average, which is really nice to see. He's grading out really well with the defensive metrics for once in his life, because usually they hate him, or not hate him, but they at least think he's only average at best. Right now, he's clearly an above average defender at third base, so even when he's not hitting, he's one of those few guys, he's at least providing value to some degree on both sides of the ball and on the Yankees. This year, that is a rare thing, man. That is a rare thing. What, it's him and Judge. It's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, DJ is also a really good second baseman.
But I mean, when he's going, absolutely. I just mean, like, right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's only those two.
Guardy can play defense, but he can't hit. So.
Exactly. Yeah, so.
Higgy's a great defensive catcher as well, but.
He's a backup, and that's fine. That's his role, and that's cool. But, you know, Gio Urshela, though, I would say the one thing that I would hope he can improve on a little bit and that he hadn't shown last year was his, I would say try to cut down the Ks a lot, because he's striking out a lot more than before. And not by a little, a lot.
Like in 2019, he was 70th in K percentage. You go to 2020, he was 90th, which was a big jump. He was really looking – that was probably the most elite he's looked in general in 2020, actually. But you go to 2021, he's down to 34th percentile, which is a big drop in the K percentage, which is not what you want to see. He's walking less than before.
I think the injury slowed him down, too.
Oh, it definitely could have. So I'm going to say that the best thing – that we need to see right now, more so than anything, is just seeing him strike out a little less and work the count a little more so he can get some more walks, because that's the big difference between this Gio and previous Gios so far. And obviously hit the ball a little harder. You know, he's still hitting the ball decent, especially compared to the rest of the team, I'm sure. But, you know, last year, man, he was just...
Gio was smoking everything last year.
I mean, his average exit velocity last year was 86th percentile. Expected WOBA was 87th. I mean, he was doing everything you would want at the plate, and he was dying. Expecting batting average was 97th. I mean, that's everything you want. So he can get back to that. I genuinely do believe that. It's just more about how much is the D-juice ball going to affect someone like Gio. And I do think it will have an effect. The question is how much of an effect. And that's something that's to be determined. So we're going to have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, I think with Gio, I think the power numbers will slightly decrease, just a little bit.
I would say he's a 20 home run guy, like at most, probably this year. Just a gut feeling.
I think you're looking at like 20 is the number. Yeah, 20 is the number.
That's where he's going to max out, I think. I don't see any more than that. And if he can get his average up and get on base a little more, that's fine. Like, you just need to do enough at the plate.
And that's what he's been doing, really. He's been
mostly, you know, yeah. I mean, he's batting .269 on the season. If I would just like to get the OBP up a little bit, it's a .314 right now. Get a little bump.
Work a few more walks. I think Gio will be fine. I think the injuries really messed him up, because there was a time like a month ago where his numbers actually looked really great.
Oh, I remember. No, but, I definitely do think Gio long term is going to be fine. The thing is with him compared to some other guys, he actually has showed something this year. Like, he's had like legitimate stretches where he's looked good. Yeah, and that's more than quite a few.
I think
guys.
He hit like a 450-foot homer at the Trop or something.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of guys on this team can't say they've had stretches like him this year, and that's saying a lot, because his stretches have been good, but they haven't been like otherworldly or anything.
And he's on a heater right now. Over the last week, he's got like a 993 OPS or something.
So right now you have to hope that he brings that into Minnesota, because we're gonna need all the bats we can against these ex-Yankees pitchers. Oof, I'm sure they're gonna fucking
yeah, really.
But you know,
do you think a pitcher has the advantage, or do you think a batter has the advantage? I think a batter would have the advantage against a pitcher that he had on his team.
I see what you mean now. I would probably I would hesitantly say a batter.
I think batter, because I think the batter pays more attention to the days the pitcher pitches than, you know, when a pitcher's not pitching, he's usually chumming it up with some of his friends in the dugout. I think personally, like, the batter sees that pitcher pitch more than the pitcher sees the batter bat.
I would say, as long as the pitch mix is mostly the same from that pitcher, I would say, yeah, in favor of the batter. If they reinvented themselves a lot since they last saw each other, then I'd say in favor of the pitcher, because they know how to exploit the batter
Pineda's pitching tonight, and I don't think that there were many guys who played with Pineda besides Judge, Gary.
It's a select few.
I think Clint was on the 2017 team, but I think Pineda might have already hurt his elbow.
Maybe.
When Clint came up. Guardy, obviously. So I'm going to need Guardy. I want to have basically the full lineup tonight. You know, Guardy in center, Judge in right, yada, yada, yada. Make sure all the people that were on the team when Pineda was here, make sure they're in the lineup. So I want Gary starting as well. For sure, especially because Gary's on a heater too. He's been doing really well over the last 10 games. So.
You know what? We'll get to Gary right now. Might as well. So we're, just to say for everybody, we're pretty much doing a deep dive into why the Yankees hitters are struggling, and that's why we're doing this, because that's really what this episode needs to be about, because that's the issue of the entire season. And then once we're done going over that, we'll probably go over what moves this team does or doesn't need to make. So that's kind of what we're doing today. Just want to make that.
This is going to be a long one.
Yeah, so let's go to Gary. All right, so I will say, you know, he's been doing pretty good recently.
Starting catcher. Gonna vote him in the All-Star game.
I'm going to agree. Well, maybe an All-Star game? I think that was a joke.
If he has a great month, then I'll consider it, but not right now. Not right now.
The thing is, it's 715 OPS is probably higher than most catchers, which is so sad.
It's like second or third, if I remember correctly.
That gets like really sad.
It's top 10, at least. It's top 10, at least. Like,
I think it's higher than top 10, honestly. That's really bad.
Yeah, catchers normally can in and out with the D juice ball. Like, the worst ever. We're also going to have to talk about a little later the foreign substance thing as well.
Yes, we will go into that because I do think, honestly, that could affect the Yankees quite a bit. I could be wrong, but I think it could.
I think it could help, and I think it could hurt.
It's going to be I do agree on both sides of the ball for sure. I mean,
I think it could help our offense for sure.
I think MLB is really cracking down on it now because of the fact of the D-juice balls, because pitchers are already getting an advantage from this. Yeah. So if they're going to get this advantage, their logic is probably they don't need the substances anymore. Like, that's just like this is enough without
I've got my own take on this, but I'll get to that later. Let's just finish up our Gary point first. So
Gary, you know, he's been doing good recently. I can't deny that. He's having a good enough year, especially given the lineup that
good enough to keep his starting job.
Yes, and especially because Higgy simply has not hit. Higgy has not been able to hit off speed, and that's been the real issue with him.
Do you know Higgy's weighted runs created plus since like his multi home run game against Toronto in April?
Mm-hmm.
It's like below 70.
No, it's low. And you know what, Higgy? I actually think he's gotten a little unlucky. Like, I've seen him line out quite a few times when he's been playing. He's hit the ball pretty hard. But with that said, I do think that he can't hit off speed in general, and that's a clear issue. Although
he's just a clear backup.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's been an issue prior to this year. Like, I honestly have no idea. I'd have to really look into that.
It has. I've seen. Like, he just looks like the same
guy.
But
I don't know if it's ever been this bad, though, because I don't even know if he has a hit off.
Throw that guy a fastball, and if he gets a hold of it, it'll go. He's got pop.
That's the one great thing about him. A backup catcher with pop is tough to find.
Exactly. So basically what you do with Higgy is you play him once a week, and like a pitcher will think, oh, this guy's the backup catcher, so sneak a fastball by him. Then Higgy ambushes the fastball, and you got a home run. So that's basically what Higgy does, and he's also a great defensive catcher. He's a perfect backup.
Awesome defensive catcher. I think he's the perfect backup for this team, and I have, even with his current struggles, in general, I don't even really care enough to complain about him because I know what he is anyway. Like, I know what Higgy is.
Yep. So I like our catcher tandem right now. Gary's actually grading out pretty decently.
I will
as a defender as well.
Yeah, he is. But as far as a lot of people have said the Yankees really need to go out and get a catcher. That's bullshit because there's no good catchers available and there's no good catchers in general around the league. So really, they're better off sticking with their current duo of Sanchez and Higgy. And why even waste chips on that? Because even if you find a better catcher, it's only going to be marginally better. If we're being realistic about it, like, it's not going to be a big jump.
I have no interest in getting another catcher, especially with the luxury tax stuff. That
if you wanted to get another catcher, you should have got JT last year. That's simple.
Or
if
you wanted another catcher, you could have either A, signed Yasmani Grandal 2 years ago, or B, signed JT Realmuto last year. Yeah. The two best catchers in baseball were available, and we didn't get them. And that's it.
Yankees made their decision, and you know what? You got to stick with it. There's no going back now.
Nope. So yeah, but, Gary's good now.
Yeah, and as far as whether or not, you know, what they should do in terms of when Higgy catches, like how often he should, I'd say just once every five games with Cole. And if Kluber comes back, I'd consider having him pair with him, but that's not a necessity at all. I would say Cole is
not.
Cole always, though. Like, Cole should always be with Higgy, I think.
This is our first disagreement.
Well, hear me out first. I'm saying Cole should always be with Higgy simply because, realistically, he needs to catch every 5 days anyway. Like, once every 5 days, Higgy's
going to... Gary's not going to play every day.
Like, that's what I'm saying. He's going to get a turn in there anyway. So I think you might as well just consistently keep him with Cole because it's something that they're both comfortable with. I think they both work really well with each other, and I just don't see a need to change that. But with that said, if Gary... Oh, God. My throat's really messed up right now, but... if Gary starts to like really figure it out, start really hitting at a level that is close to previous years, then I would say we need his bat in the lineup as much as possible. Get him comfortable with Cole as soon as you possibly can. But until then, I say just keep it Higgy and Cole until Gary makes it a competition for that spot. That's
well,
my
here's the thing. So, obviously, right, our lineup has been ass, a two-pack of ass, as Joe Budden would say. Tomorrow, I believe Cole's pitching tomorrow. So, here's the thing. Can you imagine taking one of our hottest bats out of the lineup? Because that's what Gary is. He actually is one of our hottest bats. Like, I really want to see Gary in the lineup tomorrow. I don't care how you do it. So,
well, let's be honest. He can
put
easily
him in left field. Yeah,
wouldn't be shocked if they put him in a DH because someone's always getting a day off anyway. We're gonna go on a rant about that too.
We have to get into this immediately.
And I'm not even gonna get mad at him. I'm gonna get mad at the team.
No. It's not Stanton. It's the Yankees.
He has no say in it. That's the reality. Like he can say whatever he wants, but they can do whatever the fuck they want in terms of playing him. So it's bullshit. But we'll save that for later because we're probably gonna have a small discussion on him too anyway. But yeah, so that's pretty much where we're at with the Gary Higgy stuff. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean,
Gary
either
wins,
way,
baby.
Gary is doing a good job overall, but I just have such high expectations for him. I would want to see a little more in general. I would like him to just keep this going for another week or two in terms of, you know, this little streak he's riding, because to me, you need a 2-week strong sample size of consistent hitting for me to buy in. That's where I'm at this year, because this happened a lot with the Yankees this year, man, where you have 2 to 3 games of a player doing good and you think, oh, this might be it. But then they go right back to crap. And part of the reason, I think, is because this team doesn't hit homers very often. They just don't. That's the reality of the Yankees this year. So when someone like Gleyber, for example, I'm not shitting on Gleyber, I'm just giving an example, hits a homer, let's say, you're thinking, okay, could this be the start of something? And then he'll have a week where he hits the homer, gets a lot of nice singles, and he has an OPS of 900 for the week because the home run inflates it along with the very high batting average. And then you have another week where he gets a little bit less singles, but he's still hitting, but the power's not there still. And then after 2 weeks, the OPS plummets. And that's where I have my problem with the small sample sizes. So with this team in particular, because they're just so on and off in general, and with their power, it's just non-existent. So for that reason, I'm very hesitant to look at small sample sizes with our players right now. But you know, regardless, I think Gary is doing a good enough job as a catcher right now. So you know what, good job, and try to keep it up, keep building on it, and maybe eventually I can hate you a little less.
You know, that seems unlikely, but
hey, I gave a— that was probably the nicest thing I have said about Gary in like a year.
That was the nicest thing you've said about Gary the entire podcast. Existence of the podcast.
So I got to get some credit there. That was very unbiased.
You don't get any credit. I was the guy that was on this bandwagon. All right, I hopped on the bandwagon. I said Gary was going to have a nice year.
Okay, boy. Hold up for 5 seconds.
Yeah,
he's not having a nice year, though, yet.
He is having a nice year. He's an above-average catcher.
I don't think it's a nice year, though. That's my
thing.
He's
an above-average catcher. He's having a nice year.
Look, I will say he's doing better than other catchers, and I think that's good. But, again, my standards are different with Gary. I think he should be better than a 713.
If you're expecting him to be the Mike Piazza.
No, I'm not expecting that. I'm
going
to be honest. If he can get up to even a 770, 780 OPS,
I'm fucking thrilled.
I'm truly thrilled. If he gets there, I'm thrilled with his year. But a 713 OPS doesn't impress me. That's my
honest
opinion.
Also, his expected— his ex-WOBA is 20 points higher than his current WOBA. So there's more.
We're going to have to wait and see. I think he can get there. I do think he can get to a
271 BABIP. Wow, he is really getting unlucky. Usually your BABIP should be well over .300.
But was expecting batting average is currently 20 points lower than what it should be. So he's batting .184. Wait, no, I'm looking at Hickey. My bad. Oops.
Yeah, Gary's hitting .210, which needs to get up a little bit more.
I mean, he should be at .228 based on expected batting average. So it's an 18-point gap, which isn't like crazy big, but it's enough.
If he can be like 2019 where he's over .230. That would be okay. I would take it. And his OBP is at 331. His on-base percentage is 121 points higher than his batting average. He is working his walks, man.
No, he's walking enough. I would say if he gets up to 230, let's say the OBP continues in that same trend, it's around 350, and the OPS climbs to high 700s. I'm thrilled.
I hate how FanGraphs doesn't – it shows – average on-base percentage and slugging percentage, but it won't show OPS. I really wish they could add a category where it just says the OPS, because I hate doing math because I'm terrible at it. If you guys can do that, please, that'd be great, guys. Love you. Sorry, but I'm bad at math.
All right.
Sorry for my FanGraphs rant, but had to be said.
We're going to move on to another player, all right? I think this is one that's important to discuss.
Okay. Oh, God. Yep.
Huh?
715 OPS for Gary, by the way, which is decent. Oh. Okay, we're on to Clint. Okay, I do have to – I want to start with Clint.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I'm just going to get into Sunday for a minute. Sunday, DJ missed the ball, right, yada, yada, yada. That was a product of, one – DJ not wanting Clint to get that ball. B, Clint not wanting Clint to get that ball.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, it's a problem because here's the thing. I think we can confidently say that Clint Frazier is a confidence-based player. When it's going good, he's feeling good, and he does some cool things. When it's going bad, it just spirals out of control. He loses his confidence. He doesn't want the ball hit to him. It's almost like it really is like he's afraid of a ball being hit in his general direction. And here's the thing. We put Miguel Andujar in left field, and I feel more confident with a ball being hit towards Miguel Andujar's direction than Clint Frazier's direction.
That's a problem.
And here's another thing. I think not only is that a bit of an indictment on Clint? I think that's a big indictment on the Yankees player development staff. You've had this guy for, 5 years now? We're pushing 5 years. I think five-year anniversary will be on July 31st of next month.
They've been dating for...
Yeah, really. How does this guy not know how to hit a cutoff man? How does this guy just not get it?
I'm not going to say that's an indictment on the Yankees development staff, because we don't really know. We don't really know. Like, the guy was fine last year. That's the thing. Last year, he was fine. He was making all the throws. He was making the catches. And he was an above-average outfielder, not just to the eye test, but statistically, he was. But this year, he's doing none of what he did last year defensively, and that's all mental, dude.
Who broke Clint? Someone's getting shot. And also, like,
He looks like
he's swinging a wiffle ball bat, really. It does. Like, when the bat meets the ball, it doesn't really go anywhere usually. Although he did hit a walk-off homer. That was great. Great moment. But, my God.
The reality is with Clint right now, if the only reason why he's playing is because we literally have no options.
That is correct.
That's the reality.
I don't even disagree with you there.
No, because he's not just doing bad in general. He's literally the worst defensive outfielder in all baseball.
He's just the worst outfielder in baseball.
He is, and that's not even – it's true. It's literally true.
He's literally like the third worst player in baseball currently.
And offensively, he has done nothing on the season cumulatively.
Like, he's not hitting for enough power. He does work a lot of walks. That's something that he's added to his game. He does work walks, but –
But
here's the thing. Here's also another thing that Clint needs to get is that he's not going to be a DH in this league. Like, he can't be a DH. DH has hit 40 home runs a year. That's not Clint's game. Clint's going to hit like 25 to 30 in his peak. and he'll work his walks and he'll get on base and he'll have like an OPS in the 800s. Like, that's my guess for Clint. But if he can't adequately play defense, he's just going to be one of those guys that just goes from team to team and can't really put up big seasons in terms of actual value. Because, hey, you've got a decent bat, right? You got a good bat, an above average bat, but your defense is so bad that we can't put you on the outfield. When we do put you on the outfield, you're killing our team. And it's just like, you have to get it. Like, you can't, if you don't get this, if you're not able to play out corner outfield defense at an around average level, like, you're going to be like a quadruple A type kind of yeah. player.
No, that's the reality of his situation, and that's why Yankees.
Unless he magically learns how to hit 50 home runs, like Nelson Cruz or something.
The Yankees have not a lot to figure out. Like, I don't really know what his future is right now with the Yankees, and it's in doubt. That's the truth. It is in doubt because
and
the Yankees
the
are. Yeah.
Here's another thing. Like you said though, the Yankees have nobody else, right?
Yeah. Right
He's
now they
got
really
a
do.
Real opportunity. Starting tonight to wipe the slate clean, to play good defense like he did last year, to have a good, you know, I think he played like 40 games last year or something like that. He has a real opportunity to play have a nice 40 game stretch where he is a, you know, well above average player, makes all the plays, makes, you know, just does his thing. And then by the trade deadline, hey, maybe Cashman's like, I like what I'm seeing from Clint. I'm going to hold on to him, let him be the starting left fielder, and I'm going to go get a center fielder. And Guardy will be the fourth outfielder. Right? Like, he's got an opportunity to turn it around. Also, like, I still don't trust Andujar in the
I don't trust him or Clint.
Yeah, and also, B, the thing that Andujar doesn't do is walk. He has not walked yet, which... it's just going to catch up to him eventually. And that double play was, like, so annoying, man. That double play that he hit on Sunday, I wanted to kill him. I'm like, yeah, I don't
know. Both of them are not major league caliber starting players right now.
Andujar has to learn how to walk a little bit more. And, you know, he's got to hit the ball harder, too. His barrel is, like, overall is, you know, hard hit rate. Stuff was never great, but yada yada, we don't have to get into that. And also with Clint, he's got to hit the ball harder. He's walking, so I can't say he has to walk more. He's doing that. Hit the ball harder, hit some dingers, hit some doubles, and play average major league defense. Like, we never asked Clint to be a Gold Glove finalist.
No.
Before last year, we just wanted him to be competent. He's not even competent. Like, we're just asking for competence. Like, when a ball is hit to whatever, whether it's right field or left field, go get the baseball, catch the ball. If it's hit off the wall, judge it correctly, barehand the ball off the wall, or catch it with your glove, doesn't matter. Hit the cutoff, man. Make an accurate throw. Don't try to, you know, the thing that he does as well is when he tries to make a big throw, he always throws it high up in the air and tries to, like, loop it. You're supposed to throw it on a line. You're not supposed to throw it. You're not supposed to have an airborne throw like that. You can't. You're not. It's not like playing quarterback where you're trying to drop it in the bucket. You want to bounce it. You want to throw something low so the catcher can just snag it in the, you know, or whatever fielder it is can just snag it and, you know, tag the runner. So he's just got a lot to learn. It's about, you know, jumps. His jumps are like the thing that's killing him. It's the reason why he has no range. Because he's still like he doesn't know where the ball is really, and he's just fix the jumps, catch the ball, hit the cutoff, man. It's not that hard, really. It's not as hard as he makes it look to be. You need to understand that they take like catchers and put them in the corner outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like they took Kyle Schwarber, a college catcher, and they just put him in left field because they're like, hey, you hit really well, so. But you can't play that position, so we're just going to stick you in left field because that's the position that doesn't mean shit. Okay? Figure it out, man. Catch the ball.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
I love him. I love him, but my God, I'm not gonna blindly apologize for his mistakes.
No, it's inexcusable what he's been doing, and right now, if I'm the Yankees, you know, until he proves otherwise,
you have to have that ball in right field. You have to have that ball, and you know, a reason why he was so far behind that ball was because he got a terrible jump on it again.
Yeah, and
do you need glasses? Do you need glasses? That would be the first thing I would ask Clint Frazier. Do you need glasses? Can you see when the bat hits the ball? Can you correctly judge that?
I know he can. I think it's just all mental, man. I really do think it is. And right now with Clint and the Yankees, I don't see it lasting very long. I'm going to be honest. I don't think his future's here. I really don't. I think by the time we get to next year, he will be elsewhere unless he – even if he figures it out, I have a feeling – they're moving on, especially because I think the Yankees do intend in the offseason to finally try adding a lefty bat or two. I could be wrong. I'm going my gut on this. I think they really are going to try that.
Yes.
And to do so, there's only a couple spots you can do it. There's only a couple spots, and that includes the outfield where Clint is. So even if Clint does do really good at the end of the year, I think they will try to sell on that value because – God only knows what they're going to get next, considering how up and down he's been with the team. That's my take on
it. I wish we got
the, how the Yankees feel. Don't even get me started, bro.
It's only making does he only make like $25 million a year? It's actually not bad.
It's not a lot. It's really not that bad.
Like it's just the years, but like overall, he's been very healthy throughout the course of the contract, and he's been very productive as well.
All right. One more main player I want to discuss.
Gleyber?
Yep.
Got it. I called that one immediately.
Yeah. So this is probably where we disagree the most, I'm going to guess.
Gleyber has returned, baby.
This is just not – I just don't see it with him. I'm going to be honest. I don't think there's a ton there to be optimistic about, power-wise. Power-wise.
Because
he's hitting. The guy's getting his hits. He has a decent average. He's getting on base enough.
Yeah.
But
that's
all he can do. The slugging sucks. No power. No, there's literally no power. And he's not hitting the ball hard either.
I disagree.
Tom, he's third in average exit velocity. He's literally not hitting the ball hard at all.
So he improved.
What do you mean improved? What was it before?
Because he was in like the first percentile a week ago.
Okay, and if it was an actual improvement that anyone would care about, it would be beyond 2%, and I can promise you that.
Hey, I can promise you this, Luke Becker. Gleyber Ruth is a nickname that I did not coin myself, but I wish I did.
Well, it's a horrible nickname.
Well, what I will say about Gleyber Ruth is that the power is coming, and you can see it, okay? Mechanically, in a good place. He just is. He looks good. Okay.
I'm going to give you my positives on him.
Smoked a homer, smoked a sac fly, smoked an RBI double.
Okay.
In the past two games. He's smoking everything. All right.
Okay. Well, if he's really smoking everything, we would different peripherals.
I have a prediction.
Boy. What's your fucking prediction?
Gleyber Ruth is going to hit a home run in this Minnesota series.
If he does, that would at least be a legitimate step because that's two homers in two series, and that's something that I don't even want to ask how many Yankee players have done that, honestly, because I'm pretty sure it's probably only like one or two.
Yep, Gleyber Ruth's taking someone deep. I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Pineda. Obviously wouldn't be surprised if it was Randy Dobnak because
I would place my bets on Dobnak.
Yes.
That's my expectation.
Third game we're facing Hap, and Hap has terrible numbers just in general. So like I think if we're looking for an offensive breakout, I think Wednesday might be the night.
Yeah, I think it could be. And you know, I'm gonna say if the Yankees do hit, I don't even want to hear from people this is a bad team, so who cares? Because the Yankees haven't even been hitting bad teams; they've been hitting no teams.
Yeah,
so them even hitting, raking.
They got shut down by the Tigers.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, if they can hit well against any team, that's a step in the right direction regardless.
Yeah, we just need to hit. in general.
Obviously, eventually you have to hit the good teams as well, but you got to start somewhere, and that's the reality of it. So, but looking at the numbers with Glaber, the good things are, you know, his walk percentage is it's lower than last year, but it's still not horrible. It's 11% compared to 13.8% the previous year. His K percentage is pretty similar to last year, so the Ks aren't really an issue. And, you know, his adjusted batting average.
Just a quality of contact issue.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I will say, if you look at his expected stats, there definitely is a gap there. His expected slugging is actually 60 points higher than his actual. No, 50.
Glaber Ruth is coming back.
He might. He definitely could figure it out. But for now, I am going to be cautious with him because he's not hitting the ball hard overall, and that's not a good. It's not a good thing.
Don't worry. By next week, he'll be in the 6th percentile.
I mean, maybe. We're going to see. You know, we're going to see. But and on defense, he's getting the job done. I don't think he's a great defender, but I think he's good enough for sure. I have no issues with it.
Like, actually,
I don't buy into the metrics, honestly, with him being this elite defender. That's my honest opinion, but I think he's adequate. He's fine.
It's really the only thing that he needs to correct a little bit is just arm accuracy. Like, if he just like improves making the throws, usually he gets to everything. It's just that, you know, I'm actually really surprised by his range, to be honest, because one of the biggest criticisms these past few years is that he didn't have range, and now he actually does have range. So just improve on your arm accuracy, and you got a shortstop that, you know, just locks it down.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. The arm accuracy has been really good so far. The range has been, I think the arm accuracy has been pretty good, aside from a couple little errors, personally, honestly.
No,
because I think it's a mental thing.
The arm accuracy was an issue in April.
That's what I meant.
But
to
then
say.
they changed the way through. So basically, what Glaber does now is he just gets rid of the ball it's like a grenade in his hand. He's like, I got to get this out of here immediately.
Yeah.
Because what Glaber used to do is he used to take the ball and try to fire it as hard as he could to the first baseman, and that's just never a good idea.
Yeah, so like the arm accuracy overall has been pretty good.
It's improving.
Yeah, it's improving definitely. The range is enough to get by.
The range is actually a strength.
I'm not gonna say it's a total strength, but it's good. I would say it's decent. I think there's a lot of better shortstops, better range out there, but I think he's not hurting us in any way with his range, and that's all I wanted. And I'm getting that, so I'm not going to complain at all. I think, you know, with Glaber, I'm just going to hope we see some power soon. And if we even see a homer this series, I'm going to be a lot more optimistic because, again, how many Yankees even have a homer in back-to-back series? Like, I don't know what the number is, but I think outside of Judge, I'm willing to bet there's almost no one outside of Judge.
That is a good question, to be honest.
It is. I really think it's a small number because the homers have been so spread out for each player for the most part. Like, maybe Stanton. No, Stanton too. Yeah, probably Stanton. And that's it. Just those two.
That's a good question. That is a good question. Yeah, really? What is it? Like, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I really think it's just those two.
God damn, we fucking suck.
Yeah, there you go. And that's the problem, so... And now, because you're speaking of Stanton, we have to talk about this now. We have to.
Okay. Oh, yes.
So, the Yankees are fucking ridiculous with Stanton, man. I'm sorry. This guy, if you were going to be this cautious with him when he came back, why the fuck did you even bring him back so quick? Why?
And because also, at that point, terrible.
Why? That's what I'm saying, because I totally agree with, I hate to even say this, but I will agree with Christopher Mad Dog Russo on one thing. One thing. Stanton is such a timing hitter where, like, he's the kind of guy that needs a shit ton of reps to get his timing back and get back into a groove. Some guys could just jump right back in and they're good. But Stanton, he needs time and consistent at-bats to actually get into that kind of groove. But the Yankees are not giving it to him. So how is he ever going to actually be useful in this fucking lineup if they're not going to give him enough playing time? And beyond that, even when they bench him, they pinch hit him later in the game. So, he's not even getting a full rest. There's no fucking point.
Listen, it just doesn't make sense.
It really makes zero sense. And they said he was going to play every fucking game this series. And he ended up not playing the third for some fucking reason. And he pinch hit in that game. So why? Why was he not in there the whole fucking game?
Yeah, like, usually what happens is he plays two, then he takes one off. And, like, here's the thing. Now, we had a day off yesterday. We're going to play three straight. Then we're going to have a day off on Friday. And then
the two
games, Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
That's an interleague game going to Philadelphia where there's no.
So that means he's going
to
play.
Giancarlo Stanton's about to get a 4-day vacation, basically.
Dude, that's what I'm fucking saying. So. What the hell? This is absolutely insane.
I just broke Luke by saying that. Like. Giancarlo Stanton's basically getting the equivalent to, like, spring break in a few days.
It's fucking nuts. I honestly can't believe it. So, the Yankees really need to get their shit together with Stanton. And
I
need
really
to
wonder what
day.
They're gonna do this whole outfield situation. What if we did make the World Series and Stanton was, like, one of our hottest hitters?
I think they're going to play him. I really think they would if it came down to that. But, man, oh, man, I'd be fucking scared.
Like,
not because I think he's a bad defender.
We would have to put Stanton in left field, right?
No, you'd have to. And I
no,
think and he's actually a good defender.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually a very good defensive outfielder.
Well, now we don't even know. Now we don't even know what he is.
That's what I was going to say. We haven't even seen him play the outfield in God knows how long. And plus... Who knows? He can fucking pull a hammy just like that. Like, who knows? Anything could happen,
wait,
man. Are you
suggesting that Giancarlo Stanton could get injured?
Yes.
I don't see it.
So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at there. I mean, it's a mess, and like you said, the Yankees are going to need to make some moves, and I guess we can get into that part of this episode now because we've talked about this quite a bit, and I think that the bigger picture is going to become clear for the Yankees in the coming weeks, because especially when we get into late July, because that's when they have their big set against Boston twice and then Tampa. So I think it's the Yankees by then are going to know exactly what they're doing. And I think they wait until then to do whatever they're going to do, because I don't see Cashman putting in a ton of chips if this team's not worth it. Honestly, I really don't, because this is not a year where you can take on much money anyway, so the upgrades are going to be somewhat limited to begin with. So for me, if I'm Cashman, if you're going to make any moves early, they have to be moves for guys that are controllable beyond this year, no matter what. Like, I don't want a single rental unless we get it at literally right at the deadline, and I mean that.
Yeah, listen, we're going to win the World Series, and, like, I really don't understand your whole... we're screwed kind of vibe. We're not screwed.
Okay, well, well, saying the World Series shit's also bullshit, too, because we're not, you're acting like an entitled Yankees fan where it's a guarantee, and that's just stupid.
I never said it was a guarantee.
You broke
but
up entirely.
Obviously there's no guarantee that we're going to win a World Series. I wish there was. That would be great.
I'd pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah, but what I will say is that there doesn't even need to be a guarantee. We're going to win the World Series.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm aware.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay. Go for it.
I'm going to tell you why.
Go for it.
World Series.
Go for it.
27 rings, baby. No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
wow. That was a joke.
It's a joke, but I think actual people do say that still. And that's the scary thing.
There are definitely people that still say that.
Oh, God. Anyway, continue.
But listen, obviously things aren't going so well right now. 31-29. I know. It's not good. It doesn't look good.
It's not a pretty thing.
I feel like one of our managers would have had something to say about this. Something about it not being what we would want. But, you know, listen, let's think of it this way. It can't get much worse.
Oh, we all know we've hit the lowest point. Like, we know it's not going to get much worse realistically.
Like, think about it this way. We managed to win 31 games without a competent offense. That's incredibly cool.
No, I agree that the Yankees did a good job considering.
They like had a hover above water.
I can agree with you on that. I question what the offensive ceiling is if, this is a big if, of course, if Gleyber and DJ do not even get 75% of what they were. I'm just saying, it's a valid concern, though. Even if you think it, they're going to come around, it is a valid concern, I think.
Well, Gleyber's
really
already
is.
Coming around.
Gleyber is making progress to come around, but until we see it, it's still a concern. That's just...
When that guy comes, he's not going to stop coming.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a Gleyber prediction. How many home runs does Gleyber have now?
Three? Correct.
Gleyber Torres, by the end of the year, will have 25 home runs.
So that you need another 22 over the next 4 months?
Correct. I think
so you need a little more than 5 months. All right.
Yes. I think Gleyber is going to go on a home run tear very soon. I think it's going to be – because if you remember when we first signed DJ – back in 2019, he only had a few home runs coming into, like, around this point. And then when the summer hit, he got into his power stroke. He ended up with, like, 26 homers.
Well, there's always the possibility for that, but this is also a very different set of circumstances in a very different year.
I disagree, I think.
Okay, Tom, hold up. You can't acknowledge that the circumstances in year is very different. Like, it
is. What are you talking about?
I'm saying that we are working with A, a D-juice baseball, B,
yeah.
We have a player who's not just having, he's having a pretty down year.
DJ. No more foreign substances.
Oh, of course. And we're going to see how that plays out. We're going to see.
That's going to help.
I'm actually very interested to see how numbers go up and down across baseball on both sides of it.
DJ can get to 15 home runs this year. I think he can get to 15.
I think
he can hit 12. I think he can hit 12. And
I will
say,
he's hit
games.
Quite a few line drives towards the ports that have just missed going out. Like, I've seen
quite
a few
this year.
I felt horrible.
But you know what? You know what I would like to see? DJ is not a weak guy. I think DJ should at least try to pull a few of these balls as well. I don't think, because he's been so late on the fastball recently. Usually his K percentage is up wildly. So I would just, try to use a lighter bat. I don't know. Fucking try something different. Try to pull a ball. Try to hit one to left field. Why not? Try to be quicker. I don't know. Fucking do something. Because I'm tired. Because you know what? He does hit a lot of bomb foul balls that I've noticed. Like, hey, that ball would have been gone if it was about 15 feet to the left. But, you were late on it. So be quicker. Do something. Help us win games. All right. So, I just want the best. I just want the best for these guys,
I get it. And, just thinking about it, in the end, I'm looking at the other teams in the league. And I will say the American League is far from stacked this year in general. And that's one thing that could play to the Yankees' advantage as they hopefully try to make the playoffs, but I'm not convinced that they are better than a couple of the teams in the league, though. I'm not fully sold yet. But do I think the Yankees have the talent to be the best team? Far and away, yes. I can agree on that. And especially when hopefully Severino comes back and he plays a big role for this team, I think that this rotation could really step it up because you already have Gerrit Cole.
Stevie the God, baby.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole. Herman's having a really good year. Tyone and Monty, they've had their inconsistencies, but they've also had some bright outings.
You can't spell Gerrit Cole without ace in the hole, baby.
In the end, I think if one of Monty and Tyone figure it out, the rotation is not going to be a concern.
Well, I do have something to say about that.
Okay, what do you have?
All right, so you just said if Jordan Montgomery figures it out, but Jordan Montgomery's actually been quite all right.
He's had some rough outings.
He has had a few stinkers, I will give you that. But overall, if you look at his numbers, he's already put up over one WAR. He's got 1.2 WAR, right? And he's got a 3.55 FIP. He's actually doing pretty well. And his, you know,
no, no, you're right. He's having a good year. He's having a good year.
He's averaging 93 miles per hour on his fastball.
I remember there's one game, I can't think of which one, but he hit 97.
Yeah, like, what the fuck's going on here?
But, you know what, Monty, I think that he's having a good year. I do think, in general, he needs to find a little bit more.
I think there's room for more. I think there's a lot of room for more.
No, I've always been on this. I'm a big Monty guy. Everyone knows that. I love Monty. And
I think he can be a three. I think he can be a three.
I said that years ago.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You were the originator of the Monty hype train, so I will give you that.
I always felt Monty can be a three, and I still think he absolutely can be. I mean, the talent's all there. The guy has good stuff. He has good commands when he's going right. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. Big dude. And, you know, his expected ERA is 3.74, which is lower than his current ERA, too. So
yes.
There's even room for improvement there, and I'm not really too worried.
It's like basically like Masahiro Tanaka.
Yeah, you know, I can see that comp, and right now I think in the end, if Severino, the rest will figure itself out for the rotation at least.
We should get into Sevy. Sevy's I also do think Tyone will be fine. But you know what it is like they leave him in like one batter too much.
Usually. They do, but at the same time though, eventually you do have to give him a little bit more leash.
Yeah, we need gotta more give length. Him some
more
length. He's got to figure out his breaking ball too, because like he really hasn't had good consistency with the breaking ball. I think that's just a product of still not being fully back from Tommy John.
I think that could be it.
Yeah, but like he's had to learn like a new pitching motion. He had to learn how to throw differently. There's a lot of stuff going on with Tyone, and he's actually been overall pretty decent. I think there's a lot of
he's
room
been one of the unluckiest pitchers in baseball. If you're going by expected stats, he is.
Absolutely. There's a lot of good there. There's a lot of stuff that you're gonna like, and you know, you just keep rolling him out there, and you know, I think he's gonna have a really nice second half of the year for sure. Just as the rust keeps getting knocked off from the Tommy John, you're just gonna see more consistency from him. So I'm actually overall very pleased with the rotation. Obviously Kluber's hurt, so like our depth is being tested. I'm not pleased with like the depth. I think King threw a decent enough game if we had a competent offense, but like
I agree.
I'm very disappointed with Davey. Obviously Clark Schmidt decided to showboat in spring training and hurt his elbow, so he's throwing bullpens now. His first bullpen of spring training, he tries to throw as hard as he can, and he hurts his elbow.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not mad at him. I'm really not.
I'm mad at him. Like, don't.
It sucks, but I get it when you're a young kid in spring training trying to prove yourself.
He's 25.
Okay, even so, he's a young – that makes it even worse. He's 25. He's getting older. He's not getting any younger. But
He's already had elbow issues, too. So, like, dude.
Even so. No one thinks about it that way when they're just warming up in the pen. They're trying to showboat a little. You don't think, I'm going to throw a couple a little harder and my elbow's going to snap. That's just not the reality of it, Tom. Yeah. It's not.
So hopefully, hope to God that Clark Schmidt can start getting back here.
Well, even so, if it's up to me, we trade him.
Because, like, with Davey, like, I kind of fell off the Davey train a little bit. Just, like, he actually pitched a nice game the other day in AAA. But, like, right now, it's just he's so clearly a young kid. He's not ready yet. Like, it's just very clear that, like, his fastballs tend to leak out a little bit. He's prone to hang a few. And it's just, like, the command and the consistency of the pitches just aren't there enough where you're like, okay, this kid's ready to be an MLB starter. But you know what? With more time, with more seasoning down in AAA, that can get there. And obviously the – he was kind of rushed to the major leagues last year, to be honest. So I'm actually, you know, I'm not out on Davey. I'm just saying he's not ready.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's not ready right now. But personally, I'm kind of out on him. And when I say out, I mean I would try to trade him if the opportunity
his
comes up.
His stuff isn't nearly as impressive as I thought it would be, to be honest.
No, and really, the Yankees right now, we've talked about this a lot. Their farm system is in really good shape right now, like really, really good. And a lot of people don't even know about it because a lot of these prospects that are doing good are just breaking out this year. Like they, it's not just one. Like it's a long list. Like, and there's some guys I'm just hearing about recently who I'm like, I've never heard this name in my life. And
did Peraza officially get?
Yes.
Promoted? Yes. Like, is that an official thing?
No. I saw that somewhere today. I think I'm pretty sure he definitely got promoted. Yeah.
Yeah, because like there was kind of like Peraza posted that on his thing, but like it wasn't like confirmed. So
the thing is though too, they literally said the same day that Josh Smith got promoted.
It was clearly official.
Okay. The reason why I never had doubts because why would there be two false announcements of two players getting called up with one to replace the other? Like that makes no sense.
Yeah, it is official. Somerset officially announced it.
Yes, which is awesome, man. Oswald Peraza is having a phenomenal year. And for me, he's an untouchable guy. He really is. Mm. And honestly, the Yankees, they don't even need to trade a lot of their untouchable guys to get what they need. So I'm not really worried about that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
As of now, I mean, we just need – realistically, we're not going to trade for any starting pitchers, I don't think. I think the Yankees are going to try to fix that internally.
Yeah, the rotation acquisition is Luis Severino.
Yeah, so I think the only thing we're going to get is offensive players. And if we're going to get those, the cost is going to be, depending on who we get, it could be relatively high, but not nowhere near as high as the cost of starters, because starters are a premium in the marketplace.
Would be nice to have Max Scherzer, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but the main guys we've talked about are Ketel Marte, who I'm going to be honest, I don't think is happening, but you never know. Brian Reynolds, I think, is if he was available, would be realistic, but God knows what the cost is, man, because he's controlled for the next like 5 years. So
you know who would be a great fit? There's this kid in Los Angeles.
Okay.
His name escapes me. Lefty bat, actually. His name is Cody Bellinger.
I think he's off limits.
No. Yeah. Worth a shot though.
I definitely do think Joey Gallo's the easy guy.
I wouldn't want Mike Trout because he bats right-handed.
Whoa.
I'm kidding. I've heard that before, honestly.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
I've heard that before. That there are some people that really just don't get it. It's like a WFAN thing to say.
So Joey Gallo's the easy target. Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Because the thing is, he's not going to cost a ton anyway.
So he's on a heater, too.
Yeah, like, he's not going to cost a ton. He has pop, which is something the team simply doesn't have right now.
Joey Gallo hits for power?
Oh, yeah. He's an above-average defensive outfielder who actually does have a little bit of versatility in general, but not a ton.
He's like Bellinger, except he just doesn't make as much contact.
He's Bellinger light.
Yeah, he's basically Bellinger light. He can play all three outfield positions and first base. And he can also play third base, too.
Yeah, like if you're ever like in an emergency, he can do that.
If you're in an emergency, like he came up as a third baseman. Like he's just like a freak athlete. You could probably put him at shortstop if he wasn't like 6'6".
Yeah, so I think that's the clear, like get him no matter what, I would say at this point. Just because the cost really won't be that high.
Just imagine, think of it this way. We get Gallo, right? Can you imagine the WFAN calls about his strikeouts? Can you imagine it? Sure, he's a lefty bat, but he strikes out 250 times a year, just like Giancarlo Stanton, who we also need to get rid of. This is why Brian Cashman needs to get fired immediately. He doesn't understand that you have to bunt and play small ball in the playoffs. And that's just it. You know that it's going to come. There are going to be 500 of those calls.
And they're all unappreciative little shits because Joey Gallo is going to be better than most of what we're running out there right now anyway. So
would you have Joey Gallo or Clint Frazier?
There you go. So we all know the answer. And Joey Gallo, too, he's actually walking a ton. He's literally 99th in walk percentage. Yeah, 99th percentile.
The reason why his OBP is like low is because he just doesn't make contact usually.
And so if 365 isn't even horrible, like,
oh, he's
like,
at 365 this year,
yeah, because he's at a 207 average.
That's very good,
365
actually.
OBP, yeah,
that's very good,
walking
actually.
That much.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually surprised, because usually from what I saw from the stats, it's usually like in the 330s, which is pretty decent.
His career average is 331.
Yeah, so it's usually around there. But like, if that is actually legitimate, he's even better than, you know,
what you thought,
what I originally thought. So like, yeah, hopefully he keeps that up. Yeah, he had a really nice 2019 before he got hurt.
Yeah, and you mix that with, again, the really good defense. He's 90th in outfield jump, 81st percentile in outs above average. He's a legitimately Gold Glove caliber outfielder, and you
won a Gold Glove last year.
Yeah, like he's a really good outfielder. There's no denying it. So I don't.
Just
really
a freak athlete, that guy. That dude's like stick him anywhere, and I'm gonna catch it.
There's no logical case against Joey Gallo. I mean, I can make a very easy offer that I think Texas would accept. I mean, I would probably offer. What would you offer? I'm trying to think. Maybe. Would you offer Clint?
Oh yeah, for sure.
No, I'm sorry. I would clarify, but do you think the Yankees would rather? Is what I was gonna say.
For a guy like Gallo, who has years of control as well, I think they would, especially like. You're just like improving your team. They need to improve the team, man. Honestly, and it's also a lefty, and that will get the fans off of Cashman's back a little bit, just because like they have been killing him about the lefty stuff. So like,
I would say trade Frazier, a pitcher, and another piece of their pick.
There's no reason not to do it. What does Clint do better than Gallo besides like, I don't know, make more contact?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. So I think that's the no-brainer move to make. And outside of him, I mean, like we said, Ketel Marte is probably not realistic, so I'm not even going to go there, really. But obviously, if you were available, that's a no-brainer for the Yankees to go after him at a realistic cost. But
it would be dope to have like Gallo in left, Marte in center, and Judge in right. That would be like one of the best outfields in baseball.
But, you know, Brian Reynolds is very fun, I will say.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's really good.
He's just kind of hidden because he's on a bad team.
Yeah, and you know what? The Pirates, I will say, a guy on Twitter who we both love to talk about pointed out the Pirates do definitely have a liking to the Yankee system. They do. Like, they make a lot of trades with the Yankees, and they made out really well on the Tyone trade so far. So I'm willing to bet that they would love to engage with us again on another trade if Brian Reynolds was on the market. And, you know, Brian Reynolds he is a above average outfielder. His walk percentage is 86th percentile. He's a very fast, very fast. He's 86th percentile, which is fastest player on the Yankees if he's there. So that's fun. And he's hitting the ball hard too. I mean, actually, maybe not hard, but either way, he's still getting home runs though, which is something this team can't say. I mean, he has 8 home runs, which is not horrible at a center field. And
he's definitely worth keeping an eye on.
No, he's worth keeping an eye on, because even if he's not hitting the ball always hard, he's still hitting his homers. He's taking a lot of walks, which doesn't even come into play with contact. So he has a good approach to the plate regardless, and he's getting at base at a 390 OBP with an 880 OPS cumulative. So there's a lot to like with Brian Reynolds. So I would say that's a fun target. And also on the Pirates, you got Adam Frazier, who I think is honestly, I think that's right up the Yankees' alley, because he's going to cost not – a crazy amount, probably. Like, it'll cost a decent amount, but not as much as someone like Reynolds. And he's versatile, man. He can play around the entire field. So you can play him in the infield, you can play him in the outfield, and he has an 865 OBP OPS on the year with a 332 batting average. So that's fun. That's very fun.
I like good baseball players. We just don't have enough of them.
Yeah, and he doesn't strike out at all. Like, literally, he's 98th percentile.
Yeah, it would be nice to swing a trade. I think they're both lefties, if I remember.
I'm mentioning only lefties for this because I want only lefties.
Yeah, if you're going to acquire an outfield bat, it's got to be a lefty, just
because. That's just a reality.
We lost
because, you need. I'm sorry, but anyone who says that lefty-righty lineup doesn't, it doesn't matter with the mix, I think it absolutely does. I don't think you need a direct 5-4 split, but I do think you need a couple lefties in there, or even a couple lefties available on your bench for certain scenarios. I mean, that's an important thing. Like, being able to mix and match and play that mental game with teams is big, and the Rays have shown that over the years, man. They play that game with us all the time, and guess who always comes out on top?
Yeah, it's just best to have the balance. It's just, you know, there's probably like when you have 9 all-stars, you know, it's great to have, it doesn't really matter, but like, let's be honest, it'd just be nice to have a lefty bat in there.
No, it'd be nice.
It'd be really nice to have a different look you know, just to give him a different look. You put, you acquire a guy like Gallo, you can bat him in the middle of the order, and he splits up the order from, like, he can bat, like, fifth, right? And you got four, like, four righties in front and, like, four, like, three righties in back, or four righties in back, and he just splits it up perfectly. That's what they did with Hicks. They used to bat Hicks fifth because it split everyone up. It's just split up the order. Do something different. I don't care. Fuck it. Try it.
I'm with you, man. And the next year, if I'm the Yankees too, I would try to because they actually have a ton of lefty hitting prospects now, man. Like, they don't just have a few. They have, like, I think I can't think of what lineup it was, but it was either the Renegades or the Tarpons. One of them had a lineup with, like, six lefties who were all legitimate prospects. And I was like, that's what you want to see, man, because this is an organization that hasn't had any lefty, both at the major league level and in terms of prospects at all over the last, like, 5+ years. So being able to actually have a little bit more of a mix in there is just so nice and welcoming. So Yankees, please get some lefties in this lineup, whether it's through the system, through trade, or both, preferably both. So that's my take on that. And just want to note, next week, I didn't even tell you this, but I think we're going to do a prospect episode.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to bring someone in for it.
Prospects are fun when we good prospects. Because congratulations to Peraza, by the way, on joining the top 100 prospect list.
Yes, on Baseball America, right?
Yes. So congratulations to him. He's officially, like, a legit guy to watch out for on the Yankee system. He's officially on lists. He's been noticed. People like him. He's also the minor league leader in defensive runs saved in the infield. So
that's very fun.
So, like, he can pick it. He hits the ball really hard, and he's just gonna be a good player. So.
And you know what's funny is I've heard his name for years, and I've always seen his stats, and but they, like, were never good. Yeah, like, they were never good. Like, I was always like, this guy has, like, a 600 OPS every year, but everyone raves about him.
What am I looking at here? It just turns out, he's just, like, he just needed, like, a year of weightlifting to pop, really.
Yeah, there you go.
And he's fast as shit.
The fact that he's gonna, he's very fast. But the thing is, though, at high A right now, the rules are very weird. And that's why he's stealing.
You have to disengage from the rubber completely. So the pitcher will have to step completely off and then throw. And then so it allows the base runner to get bigger jumps. And, you know, it just makes it impossible to steal. I mean, impossible to catch someone stealing. Which is a stupid rule, by the way. That's fucking stupid.
No. It's dark. In general, we're stealing so many bases. But I think that he's still fast regardless, but he's probably not going to steal as many as we. But he's still a guy that could probably steal 20 to 25 a year, I think. Like, he's probably that fast. So yeah, that's pretty fun.
He's just athletic. Like, there have been so many complaints about the Yankees not being athletic.
Athlete.
That dude's just an athlete. So, like, I'm excited to. I would try my damnedest to hold on to him.
He's not even that far off, man. I mean, he's going to be in Double A now, which means realistically, if he's doing 21 good
in Double A,
next year isn't exactly out of the question at some point.
No. It just depends on what he does this year in Double A. It really is. Like, if he rakes Double A, he's already clearly a very advanced defender. So,
it's not he'd be starting next year at Triple A probably if he rakes at Double A.
Yeah. Or, you know, you can't even rule out a Triple A promotion this year if he rakes, but I don't
know. No, it's not impossible.
Nothing, like, he just controls where he goes. Like, hey, if you want to rake and play good defense like you've been doing, we have no problem calling you up to AAA once you conquer AA. It's just, it's not even an issue. he's just doing it. So, you know, fuck it. I think he's kind of on a bit of a fast track. I don't think he'll be in the MLB this year. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I'm counting on him to be here. But next year, I think, is a legitimate possibility. He's already in AA, so I can't imagine it taking super long unless there's an injury. Hope to God that there isn't.
I think we don't even need to talk about this really, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Because in the off season, I've been saying I want to make some changes to the lineup regardless, I think. I think it would be good for the team in general. But if he has a really good finish to the year, like, and he rakes at double A or even, God, who knows, maybe even a tiny bit of triple A, I think the Yankees offseason outlook could change quite a bit, because that's a guy they can really look to potentially early-ish during next year. And that would mean, obviously, someone would have to get the boot. And they would have to prepare for that. And I would be okay with
maybe
that.
Maybe they move him. Maybe they switch him over to left field. Maybe they try him in the outfield with his athleticism.
Yeah, but he's so good at shortstop, though.
Yeah, really. It's like,
that's the only thing.
They're just going to have to try to find a place for him. Maybe Gio can play some left field. I don't know.
I would say, if it were up to me, obviously it depends on what he does this year, too. But he's one guy that I would say could end up being the odd man now. He could be. And not by fault of his own entirely.
The injuries kind of are killer. For sure. And he's about to start making arbitration. We'll do an off-season video once we win the World Series and we're done with that.
Oh, because I will say, next off-season, I feel like I say this every off-season, but next one could be the most important for the Yankees in a long time. Just because there's a lot of changes that could potentially be made and that are going to need to be.
And we're also going to be under the luxury tax.
Exactly. So that means there's going to be a lot of room to add dollars, especially because we don't even know.
And
what
also,
the
fans are back.
The threshold is going to be.
So Hal's making his money back for sure. For So everything's going to be okay. There really isn't too much else to talk about.
No,
to be honest.
I mean,
our bullpen struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you're breaking up right now.
Oh, you got me.
Okay, now I got
Lucas
you.
Here. All right. So, next half, like we already mentioned, after the Twins, you got the Phillies in the National League. Will be. Then you have another series of the Bud, and that is the Yankees current. Should be ideally take 2 out of 3. From Minnesota, split with the and win the series against Toronto, obviously.
Yes, survive on the road, win at home. It's that simple. We're gonna win the series.
I think that's about it. I mean, and now we're just waiting. We should be getting some relievers back over the next few weeks, probably. I mean, O'Day should be back in within, honestly, like a week. And O'Day is
O'Day?
Not crazy far behind, I don't think. No, let me rephrase. We haven't heard much about him, but he's pretty far in his track, I think. I mean, I would think that he's going to – and he's a couple weeks away from a rehab assignment, isn't he? I mean, he's been out for a while now, and his track was not that bad.
Interesting.
I would have to look into it, but he's not crazy far off for sure. So I would say within the next month we get both back.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's just get some arms in there. We need reinforcements in the bullpen, because you can tell some of our guys are getting a little bit.
They're getting
a little worn down. So it's time to get Britton back. Time to get O'Day back.
Yeah.
And it's like getting fresh guys. And it's like, awesome, cool. Let's do it. Outfielder Chris Davis has been designated for assignment. Ooh,
Yankees.
Future? No way. There's just no way in hell.
I wouldn't be surprised, if I'm being perfectly honest, because Cashman will see that as a dumpster dive move and say, why not? I'm not even kidding. That's right up his alley.
For sure. We're fine. We're going to be just fine. Trust me.
If we get Chris Davis, we're not going to be fine, Tom.
Oh. We're gonna be just fine without Chris Davis, is what
without
I'm about to
Chris
say.
Davis.
Like, we're just not gonna do that. Okay. Let's with the luxury tax off, I don't even think we can afford whatever money that Davis is making anyway. So like, he's not even an option. We're not making any acquisitions until like next month. We would?
No, I'm saying, let me rephrase. If he makes the free agency, which he probably will.
Oh.
I don't think anyone's going to trade for him.
Well, they wouldn't call Derek Dietrich up because they didn't want him making league minimum. But like,
no, but I think he was going to make a little more than league minimum with his deal. I forget what it was. It might have been like literally 1 million or 1.5 or something. Oh my God, that is loud. Jesus Christ.
Is that lightning?
That was full blown thunder, and that was the loudest thunder I've heard in my life. Jesus Christ.
Wow, I heard that from over here.
Yeah, that was really loud. Jesus.
Where are you, Jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, I heard there's a big storm system. It was very sunny here, but now it's getting cloudy. But I don't think we're supposed to get too crazy of a thunderstorm. I think the towns above me are, but like I think actually my town is actually fine.
Overall, yeah, not so fine here right now. Yeah. So we'll see. Good thing we're doing this show now, because who knows if I'll lose connection later.
Yeah, we can wrap it up. So you can go crawl in the fetal position, because that's usually what I do when there's a thunderstorm. I don't like thunder and lightning. But, yeah, we're going to be fine. We're fine. Please win tonight. Just win. You know,
we need some good vibes. We need some good vibes.
It's like the scene in the shitty Justice League movie directed by Joss Whedon. Save one. Win one. Just win one.
Did you realize that Joss Whedon was the writer of Toy Story?
Yes, I did. I did know that.
I did not. So, like, last week, and it was very upsetting.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can appreciate the movie, but you can also say that guy fucking sucks, and fuck him. So, fuck you, Joss Whedon. Who knew we would end up having a Joss Whedon conversation on Yankee Center? That's interesting. Anyway,
we will call it here. This has been fun as always, Tom. Let's hope the Yankees pull this out over the next week. But until then, this has been another episode of the Yankee Center Podcast. See you, everybody.
Peace.